Last night, the liturgy of the great vigil of Easter began in the parking lot, and the service began by lighting the Christmas tree that had stood in the church right over there during Christmas time. At Christmas, that tree had been adorned by ornaments made by children of the parish, representing God and God's story, that we come from love, that we live by love, and that we are bound for love, the creation, the fall, Noah and the flood, Abraham, Sarah, hoping beyond hope for a baby to come in their ancient days, Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt into freedom. We burned that tree last night, and it exploded into a fairly scary, roaring pillar of fire to kindle the first light of the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth and to light the new paschal candle that is burning right there. It's interesting. It used to be odd, a novel thing, to have church outside, you know, in the parking lot, but after the 2+ years we've been through, I thought it felt sort of normal to be out there. Remember, we celebrated Easter last year in that same parking lot with pods of people in your lawn chairs inside these squares that we had painstakingly painted and measured off so that we could be spaced out safely. And at the vigil service last night, we were back in the parking lot again. And then we traveled behind the light of the new paschal candle like the children of Israel, wandering through the wilderness, like our own wanderings over these past years. Along the sidewalk, up under the bell tower, up the stairs, into the dark narthex, and then in procession, walking down the dimly lit nave and into our church pews, gathered around this holy table beneath that mighty cross, like we are now. Maybe we haven't arrived at the actual promised land, dear people, but it's pretty close. We're finally home together on this Easter morning. And so before anything else, to be together like this for this first Easter morning in this church in 3 years, having traveled so far together to be here now, I want to say thank you, God. And if you want to say thank you, God, too, you can. Or if you'd prefer to give this preacher an amen, go ahead. Amen? Okay. Pretty good for Episcopalians. And so what you may sense in your own spirit now in this coming home to this place on this Easter morning, I tell you, I bear witness that it is only a foretaste of the coming to our everlasting home in Jesus that lies ahead of us at the end of our days and is the hope and promise of his resurrection that we celebrate. Today we remember the hope as we hear the story of Mary Magdalene, who discovered Jesus' empty tomb, and in her confusion and in her grief, till at last a mysterious stranger called her by name. Mary, he said, and she knew he was alive and something more than alive, the source of all life, the life that is at the heart of all life. I have seen the Lord, she told the others, and she knew that at the end of our days there is light and love and living, and that when we are someday all of us lost in the wilderness of death, the Good Shepherd himself will come and find us and call you by name too and carry you past death to the heaven of God's heart. Dear people, if that is all there were to say about the hope that Easter is trying to give us today, that would be everything, but it is not. The truth is, for most of us folk, I suspect, our hope that death is only a gate to heaven is not the hope we think about on most days. Most of our daily hoping is simpler, human stuff. We hope for things that sound like this: oh, please, Jesus, please don't let my kids experience pain and rejection today. Oh, I hope I can pay the bills this month. I hope my father one day won't be so hard on me anymore. I hope that there's somebody out there who will have a kind word for me today. Boy, I hope that the pain of my arthritis doesn't turn me mean. I hope I won't embarrass myself today again. I hope someday I'll feel at home in my own skin. I think that's probably where most of us live most of the time. Maybe it sounds a little more neurotic coming from me. The ancient Christian words that try to describe what happened that day long ago speak to our eternal hope that past death there is light and life and love, but also speak to our simple daily hopes. In the Nicene Creed, we confess that we believe in the resurrection of the body. Now, please, what I am about to say to you sometimes makes people cranky at first, but stay with me. We do not say in the creed that we believe in the immortality of the soul. Hang on. We don't. And here is why. The immortality of the soul means that the soul not only will exist forever, but has existed forever. But only God has existed forever. Only God is God. And we humans are creatures, bodies made alive and living by God. We are not spirits trapped in bodies, okay? The only way we know ourselves, the only way that God knows us, is in our bodies. That is how he has made us to be. Barbara Brown Taylor has famously said that our bodies are the address of our souls, where we live. Our bodies are sacramental expressions of all of who we are. And all of who we are is what is raised up to heaven. For example, think about that face of yours that you have seen in the mirror millions of times, and that it is still sort of mysterious to you, so that sometimes you see yourself in the mirror and go, is that me? Right? That will be raised up. And all of those old scrapes and cuffs on your elbows and knees, that gets raised up too. And those feet that have walked you around this world and frankly deserve more respect than we give to them, they will be raised up. And those hands of yours, which were instruments of comfort and caresses, but also instruments of punishment, those hands are raised up and redeemed too. And those eyes of yours, which have beheld the wonder of a brand new baby, but have also seen horrible things that you cannot unsee, even your eyes will be raised up and redeemed. And not just the body we can see and feel, but also those deeper unseen parts of who you are. That heart of yours that sometimes loved inexpressibly well, and sometimes withheld a love that you meant to give, but you never did. That will be raised up too. And that deep well of our being that we call our soul, that knows the sound of the voice of the Good Shepherd, even though sometimes it played deaf, that will be raised up too. All of who you are, all that makes you you, that never was before you were born, but by Christ, will be raised and redeemed. And called by name, and carried in the arms of the Good Shepherd into a green pasture to the heart of God. We believe in the resurrection of the body. that place you live in and have your being, your home. That you that God created you to be in is what is raised up to perfect living, warts, wounds, wonders, and all. Dear people, remember the Lord Christ himself bore his own wounds from the cross beyond the grave. That is what is raised up. The tomb is empty because all of who Jesus was raised up to the Father. And so it is his promise, shall all of you be raised. Amen. Hallelujah.